The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guest on Off the Shelf is Joanne Wojtek. Joanne is the program manager for NASA Soup, and we're going to get an update on NASA Soup, where it's going, what it's doing, and also talk about the established authorized reseller program that it's newly instituted on NASA Soup as a value added both for customer agencies and for it contracting partners with NASA. First of all, though, Joanne, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to see you again. And I think before we get into into ERP, I guess, as we are calling it,
yes.
The Established Authorized Reseller Program and some other new features, let's just talk a little bit about NASA Soup and where you are. It's the oldest GWAC in existence,
yes,
right?
Yes, we will have our 25th anniversary in February.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Are you going to do anything special for that?
We're thinking of having a little party, yes.
Okay, cool.
Watch for information.
I hope I get an invitation. Yeah. I'd love to attend. It's been a great program for customer agencies in supporting mission, and also for industry as an opportunity to support the federal government. So congratulations on that. And
you
are the... the brains behind you. This was all your idea, right?
I'm sucking up too much to you.
No,
I was talking a little bit. It was not my idea to start. I was in the background in the early days, 25 years ago. I've been the program manager since 99, though, so I will take credit for carrying on the many great ideas that were started back in the early 90s.
Right, absolutely. It's a great program. So, well, let's talk about the current version of NASA Soup and where you've just started your third year, is that correct?
Yes, in May was our end of our second year. So
okay, and how's it going?
Going very well. Continuing to see growth, both in terms of just overall usage and just what I consider to be better growth, in that we are doing a better job of getting agencies to look at us as a tool for the agency, not just a tool for a purchase, but for how agencies can use us to better consolidate their purchasing.
Right, sort of a strategic approach,
exactly.
Rather than a tactical, right, or just an operation like one-off kind of thing, but how NASA Soup can be sort of incorporated in their overall vision for their IT.
Yes, very much so. We've spent a lot of time and have some really good staff members out there working. We just changed the name to FAST. And now I have to remember what FAST stands for, but I believe the last part is Strategic Sourcing Team. So a Federal Acquisitions Strategic Sourcing Team, I believe, is the acronym they came up with, that is out there working with CIOs and other CXO level folks and trying to help them understand how they can leverage us in a way that's helpful for them.
Right. So, and who are some of the agencies that you guys work with?
Well, some of the agencies are all the agencies.
Well, I get that, but there's
it does make it interesting for us, because we are really used by every agency. And so while DOD is our biggest agency, of course, we have obviously then a lot of focus on them. I also love the fact that the American Battlefield Memorial Commission uses us, which is probably
excellent.
A very small commission.
But
we even got an order from overseas from them. So I like the fact that we're able to cover the full range of the really heavy hitters, but also help those smaller agencies, which is why actually Soup began, was to help the smaller agencies who couldn't do their own thing.
Well, that's sort of the vision, or the one of the major purposes of multiple board, these GUACs, the multiple board IDIQs for IT that are government-wide, is to provide that support across, so it's like a shared services model.
Right. And I look at the top agencies like DOD and VA, Justice, Interior, State, I think they're our top five. They give us the ability to build a really good program for the entire government.
Right. And are those, is part of the sort of strategic approach that these agencies are taking, are they asking you for you know, to sort of track their purchases and provide them information about where the money is going. Is that
right?
Is that a feature that you provide?
Yeah. So in Soup 5, we began tracking that for agencies, and that was a new feature that we added in Soup 5. And we do provide, and I don't know the exact number, but I think it's about 15 to 20 agencies with weekly reports on all purchases by that agency, so they can then determine how to use that information, report back perhaps to OMB or to other people about what they're doing, all the FATARA information they need, anything they need to know about what's going on. We're trying to support them that way. But we also added a feature that allows them to essentially say, well, can my agency designate that these are the products I want my agency to be purchasing? And then we can set aside what we call agency catalogs that they can go to and say, State Department has, and this is theoretical, State Department has a need for a printer, and these are the types of printers that we agree are okay for State Department to buy, and they're the ones that are in Soup. So we get them even before the ordering, and then we give them reports afterwards.
So you're customizing, sounds like you're customizing catalogs based on purchasing patterns by your customer agencies, right?
Yes, they can determine what makes sense for them and how they want to control that.
That's great. So, in terms of performance so far this year, how is Nessus? I mean, over the 3 years, how is it doing? And how's it doing this year?
Well, this year we're at the end of August. Numbers were pretty good. We're 23% ahead of last year. It was interesting. I'm a little unsure what it all means, but we actually only did a 10% increase for August, which means that we've had a lot more money come in
earlier,
which I wasn't expecting. I was expecting to see a bigger increase in August and September, which may still occur, obviously, in September. But August was good. Obviously, a 10% increase is still good. It's a big month, but it was just a bit surprising. I just thought that there was more buildup occurring, than normal. We're seeing the normal increase.
Sure. Yeah. And over the 3 years, how was it? Two plus years.
So my goal was to double in size. I'm not quite sure we'll make it in 3 years. It might be 4 years, but we are definitely along the path to doubling from the beginning of Soup 5. And hopefully by, if not the end of this fiscal year, the end of next fiscal year, we'll have doubled in size.
Okay, and what's that number?
So
I'm trying to get a number. Out
so
you were seem reluctant so, to. That's so okay. Numbers are okay.
All right. So last year we did about $3 billion in new orders, and that's and I realize sometimes that people just throw out those numbers. It's $3 billion in committed funds. It's not just obligated. It's actually committed and sure. spent money, and about $700 million in mods. So we did about 3.7. So this year will be somewhere between 4.5 and 5 billion.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
This is great, great value for customer agencies and opportunities for contractors. And can you remind folks how many contractors you do have in the program, and large?
So we have just over 140. About 115 of them are small businesses. So we're very heavily oriented towards the small business community. Always been a feature of Soup to find ways to promote that. Last I checked, we were doing 80% of our dollars were going to small businesses. So that number doesn't change. It does go down occasionally when a company goes bankrupt. That has been the only reason it's been a little fewer than we started with. But the other interesting and to me even more fascinating number is we're at 5,300 companies who have products or services on those 140 contracts.
Wow.
And we're adding up to 5 new companies a day to that list. So when a company comes to us and says, how do I get a contract? Well, no, you can't, but you can certainly be active.
Right.
Working with either as a partner with an existing contract.
A reseller or distributor or dealer.
Or providing your products and services through those companies.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of opportunity to do that because of our growth and because of the companies we have. They need help both in just working the sales, but also getting better products and services.
Right. Well, and one last question for the break. So on the just general, and I got a question I want to ask you at the beginning of this next segment. But so do you have to do annual reports back to OMB on the performance of the program, or is that just
absolutely? Yes. OMB is essentially our authority under which we operate, right. And so we provide an annual report to them on all the features and how we're doing and how small businesses are doing, and there's an annual report that goes to them and to headquarters.
Right. So, Joanne, we're already up on the first break. My guest today is Joanne Wojtek. She is a program manager for NASA SOUP. When we come back, I'm just going to ask a little bit about the weather services is becoming an increasing element of NASA SOUP, and then we'll get into ERP. Again, you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Joanne Wojtek. She is the program manager for NASA SOUP. And, you know, this segment, let's talk some services under NASA SOUP and what's going on there, Joanne. And so, what is going on there?
with SOUP 5, we did increase service offerings to some extent. We've always had product services available, installation, integration, warranty, training, and site survey type, pre-ordering type services. What we added into SOUP 5 was more the post installation type services that that might help to optimize the system or integrate it in more than just the initial installation. And it was one of the areas that I was expecting growth for SOUP to occur. I think we are finally beginning to see that happen after 2.5 years, people understanding, although we still get questions about a 5% rule, which has to do with software development, which we don't encourage people to do on SOUP. Is there other better places to do that? Or just general support, which you don't do on SOUP. So if it's not those, then as most services fit under, as long as there is a product basis to them, because that's really what we look to. Now, we're not a services contract in the sense of a GSA.
Like Alliant or something like that.
We don't set up the entire service criteria and pricing and such, but we provide the vehicle under which an agency can develop their own, and they're responsible for the labor hours and the pricing reasonableness. That's one of the reasons I avoided services for a long time, is I felt that was not something we could do at our level, but moving it down to the ordering level has allowed us to increase that.
Yeah, that makes sense, the ordering level too, because that's where the requirement is to make those determinations about reasonableness of price and approach and that sort of thing. So you're seeing some growth in that area now?
Definitely a little more growth, and at least certainly a lot more questions, a lot more SOWs we get
interest
to see and see if they fit or don't. We had one where it was, well, they use the product to do a survey, so does that count? It's like, well, no, you actually have to do something to the product, not just use it.
Right.
So we don't just say yes to everything, but we do encourage any agency to just send us their statement of work, and we can quickly determine if it fits within that product basis or is just more general in support and move them over to a different contract.
Right. So on a sort of a technical operational basis, can you describe, like, when an agency, whether it's services or a product, which is obviously the emphasis with your program, how does the whole transaction take place? In terms of they place the order through your system, or you place it on their behalf? Can you describe that real quick? Then we'll get into ERP.
So real quick, basically the customer doesn't have to bother with us at all until they do the order and send it to us. But we do have a tool to provide market research and request for quotes, and ability to ask questions of our contract holders, get responses back. So we prefer that they use that tool because it's built into our system and it verifies. So we'll talk about ERP, that will have a part of that. And the actual ordering process is done either by that agency or by one of the assisted acquisition agencies like GSA, who uses us for other agencies. Department of Interior has an assisted acquisition group, and DISA is actually our biggest single customer.
They
handle a lot of DOD customers coming to them and then using us to actually do the orders.
So, and DISA, is it worldwide stuff that you send in stuff all over your contractors, or is it?
It's worldwide, although it's, and we don't always know where things go.
A lot of
it comes from Scott Air Force Base. I think they do a lot of their concentrated IT purchasing there. But we see, we do have ordering that goes throughout the world. So we do Japanese. We do a lot of Afghanistan and Middle East orders. Always interesting to see those come in, and happy to see us supporting the entire breadth of DOD's activities.
So in terms of the system, though, at some point you capture the data to be able to report back.
Yeah, so right? And that's done at the ordering stage where the order is sent to us. We actually do two verifications. Or if they use our tool, we verify all quotes that go through our tool, and then we verify all orders that come in to make sure that everything is on contract and priced correctly before it can be processed in by the companies.
Right, and so you collect, you get that, you manage that data as opposed to asking the contractors to give it to you.
Yes, to some extent, they do give us the as part of the process. The contractor gives us a file that is a list of the claims and prices on the quote.
Okay,
and that's what drives the whole process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, interesting. So now let's turn to ERP, and that is the Established Authorized Reseller Program. So why ERP? First, I guess let's start with the big picture.
A good place to start. Yep. I could do a long story about 10 years ago when I started thinking about authorized resellers and trying to work through what it means and what it really means versus what the government sometimes thinks it means and still does think it means, which is it doesn't really mean much of anything other than every company has their own definition, their own rules, and most of them don't even have authorized reseller programs, but some of them do. Some of them have very strong programs. And so the problem is, how do you distinguish between the different types of companies out there, the different needs of the government, so that the government can then make a proper choice, but also maybe don't even have to think about it. If it's important, let's take care of that issue for them. So starting with Soup 5, we got to the point where we had a program in place that identified all authorized resellers through a verified process and not through letters of authorization. I totally do not like letters at all because they are all sorts of games you can play with letters.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So rather than doing a letter, our verification process, I believe, is much stronger. We actually go back to the manufacturer and say, hey, is this company really authorized to sell your products? Whatever that means to that manufacturer. It could mean that they're authorized because they're working with a team that works with this. It doesn't matter to me what the definition is if the manufacturer agrees that they're authorized. But we want to hear that from the manufacturer. So that's been part of our process. And we provide with each quote a verification file that at the CLIN level tells the customer, is this company authorized? If they're not authorized, are they using a distributor? Or do we not have a verified relationship? That seemed to be the answer until I realized that meant the customer had to open a file, look at it, understand it. And there were times when major companies where an authorized reseller really meant something, where not using one could cause a customer to not get warranty, mm-hmm. or could cause them to not necessarily get a real system or get them a system that's been re-engineered because they don't know the path it came from. For those situations, we created this new program called the Established Authorized Reseller Program, which does not allow a quote to even come through unless we've verified that authorized reseller relationship. So a company can say, I'm authorized to sell Acme Corporation, but if Acme Corp says nope, and it's important to us that and it's beneficial to the government to use an authorized reseller, we will not allow it through unless the customer says, I don't care, I'll take the risk.
Right.
And allow anybody to quote.
So, And you touched on, I think, some of the reasons why this is important, but, I think one of the things that I hear is gray market, products, competition that in a certain sense is slanted, unfair, and that whether when someone really is seeking something that's from an authorized reseller, but gray market and the pricing associated with it, somebody else gets in there and wins it, or... And then there's also the cyber risks associated with that. Is that what your customers are saying to you and contractors? Or?
Well, that's certainly customers hear that. I always say, well, gray market is not always bad. It's just riskier. You have to know that you're taking a risk if you get a gray market. And again, it depends on the manufacturer and what you're purchasing. If you're purchasing a router to go into your network, it's probably very important. If you're purchasing a power cable, it's probably not nearly as important, not as much risk involved. So there's a balancing act to go. So when we're done, at the end of the day, what's been interesting about setting up this program is I had a feeling there weren't going to be as many companies who would qualify to be what I would call an established authorized reseller participant. In fact, I think we have 13 now out of 5,300. But we still for all those other 5,300 companies, we're still checking, verifying the relationship. We're still telling our customer. And what has happened is because of this program, our customers are paying closer attention now to the verification file and saying, wait, it doesn't have an A here. what's the difference, and then we can explain, well, you know, is there a risk factor or not, and help educate the customer.
Well, great. And you know, Joanne, we're already up on the breaks, but when we come back, you know, we're going to continue discussing ERP and what it means for industry, what the reaction's been from some of the major manufacturers. You touched a little bit about what customers are actually paying more attention now. That's a good thing. And also just give us a sense of the overall role of NASA's role in supply chain risk management for customers. I think maybe we'll start with that first and get back into ERP. My guest today is Joanne Wojtek. She is Program Manager for NASA SOUP, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today my guest is Joanne Wojtek. She is Program Manager for NASA SOUP, and we're talking... Now we're talking ERP, which is the Established Authorized Reseller Program and Supply Chain Risk Management. And before we get back into ERP a little bit deeper, let's just take a step back. And, this is on me. I should ask at the very beginning, of this discussion, of just talk a little bit about the NASA SOUP's role in overall supply chain risk management for the government, and then how you're fitting, how that ERP, fits into that.
Well, I think it's a broader question of what is NASA SOUP's role in general in the process, and our general role is to provide information between the industry and government. We don't make decisions for how people are going to purchase, what they're going to purchase, why they're going to purchase it, but we help them get to that decision making themselves. The established authorized resellers is an obvious point in that regard. You know, how do you know who's authorized? How do we tell them? How do we verify it? We take care of all those pieces, but whether or not you want to use it, whether or not it's important, that's up to the customer to decide. What it means, that's up for industry to decide. We don't make that decision for either side, but we provide the conduit of information. We do the same for other pieces like EP, energy. We provide flags for that we verify. We provide flags for TAA compliance. So we're providing our customer with enough information that they can make a proper decision. But they can also say, well, but this is what I need to do to get my job done and decide and document their processes from there. In terms of supply chain, obviously the authorized reseller is a piece of it. I will also note that SOUP has been heavily involved in the international standards on supply chain risk management, along with certainly, if not being involved, at least keeping up with the NIST standards that are going on out there. And there is a new ISO standard. We do have a company, CDWG, who's been self-certified, the first of our contract holders to do so, in that standard that is meant to reduce the risk of counterfeit and tainting if these procedures are followed by that company. So we're hoping to have more of our contract holders be certified, and then we can start really emphasizing that as a point for our customers to consider.
And that's not a... That's something you are encouraging companies to do, evolving the program over time.
Yes, it's a case where it just came out last year as a self-certification. We couldn't include it as a contract level requirement to be certified, but we're certainly encouraging our companies. And because it's self-certification process, it's not as expensive as doing a full third-party certification.
Sure.
So we really want to have see if this is something that can be useful for industry and for government and. It's part of the Open Group International Standards Committee, of which SOUP is a part.
Right, and are you seeing customers, asking about that now, or is it just an educational effort at this point?
Yeah, we're still at the chicken and the egg stage of who's going to ask for it first, and what SOUP is trying to do is trying to push industry to start getting enough of the folks certified so that we can then start educating the customer to ask for it. They aren't going to know to ask for it until, and I don't want to have them asking for it. If only one of our companies has it, that's unfair. I want to make sure multiple companies have that first.
Right. That's the chicken and egg, right? Yes. Are there, you asked, you wanted me to do this, but there's only, one. But good for CDWG to get that. When you look at ERP and fitting into that, I wanted to ask you a little bit more. You said in the previous segment that, you see customers now starting to pay more attention to this issue. How has that impacted your program? Has it, are more people coming to your program because of this, or has additional value added? Are you out there educating people about what you've done in this area? I mean, that's part of being on the show.
Yes, that's part of here. Yeah. Done a lot of outreach in the past couple months about it. Still doing that. We'll have a webinar actually next week. I'll be doing another webinar. This will be our second webinar on the subject. It's a public forum. Any government or industry person can come out and listen to it.
Give us the information on that, and we'll make sure what day is that going to be?
I believe it's next Wednesday.
Okay.
Yes. So we'll send that to you to post with this. It's hard to say what drives a customer to use us or not. But I think it helps them when they do use us that they then know that they have more information and that we have their back even more than we had before. I still think there's a lot of education to be done with the customer in terms of understanding that authorized reseller still is, even though we have this big program out there, again, it's only for a handful of companies where it's really important. If you're buying a software package, does it really matter if they're authorized? You're going to know that because guess what? You're going to have to go to the software company's website to download it. If you don't have a legitimate license, you won't be able to download it. So you can't get anything counterfeit that way. So that's not as important as buying a hardware piece that could be coming from some place in Asia that was remanufactured and who knows what. So there's a risk, but there's a balance to that risk, and that's still an education piece for our customers.
Right. So on the flip side, your industry partners, what's the reaction been and acceptance from their perspective, both contractors and the prime contractors and the manufacturers?
So our prime contractors who do really care about the authorized resales and for which there is, again, a benefit to the government or a risk, an extra risk if they don't use an authorized, certainly a lot of positive feedback. And they understand that we're really trying to balance the different situations. We do have a lot of industries still confused about it because they think maybe it's a way to restrict sales and we won't let that happen. Like if they say, well, yes, we want to be in this program and only one company can be the authorized reseller, we won't allow that to happen. We won't restrict competition. We need to make sure there's multiple avenues for the customer to get to an authorized reseller before we allow it. So we're still working on the exact rule sets with industry, so we don't just let anybody use it, but that it has a real meaning to our customers. So it's been very, very positive that way. Our contract holders, some of them have had to learn a bit about authorized resellers and what it means, and not just simply say, oh yes, I have a letter, and who knows from where. That we have put more teeth into it, which makes industry pay attention to, which is also good.
Right. So, and get that letter issue. You poo-pooed, letters of authorization and in the last segment. Can you talk a little bit more about what your experiences has told you about the use of these letters or you've seen during your career? That
So when we started the Soup 5 RFP process, I asked for letters as part of the RFP for certain types of products. And I noticed that some of the letters were coming in from Brazil. Some of the letters were coming in where it still said insert name here. I'm like, well, these letters, who knows where they're coming from? They're clearly Xerox. They're this rubber stamp. Now, some of them, clearly said federal, channel manager as the title. But some of them, how do you know who this person is? Are they a friend who happens to work for that company? Or is it even a distributor who is signing that letter for the company, but the manufacturer doesn't even know who it is? So there's too many questions when you use a letter that left me feeling like that's not the best method for a verification. And in fact, we get a lot of our companies still coming to us every day. I'm getting emails. I have a letter. Can we just be authorized? I'm like, but the manufacturer says they don't know you. I'm not going to believe that letter. I need the manufacturer. Oh, well, and then they go back to the manufacturer and they can usually work it out. Mm-hmm. But I really want to make sure that's a clear relationship, not a paper relationship.
Right. And where do you see this going? I mean, what are some of the, this issue of authorized and supply chain risk, from a NASA Soup perspective and maybe even just from a bigger government customer perspective, where do you see it going in the future?
So we're going to continue to try to figure out how to better educate our customers. We also need to, I would like to improve our own methodology. We have a pretty simplistic view of things now. It's authorized, not authorized user distributor, or not verified. But there's a lot of nuances that we really can't capture in our current system. So I'd like to find ways to nuance between a fully authorized gold standard type of person to a, you know, yeah, they're okay, but we, you know, not as fully certified. Where that's important, again, it depends on the company, whether that's important. Or even just for some companies, it's, you know, everybody's approved. So we need to be able to indicate that to our customers also. So a lot more in that regard. And then better ways of displaying that to our customers so they both, not just authorized resellers, but if the ISO standard becomes something we can use, or for other issues, like I mentioned, EPEAT or TAA or other policy issues that we track and we show folks, but they have to look it up. We're trying to find ways to better highlight that so the customer doesn't have to try to figure out who meets a standard or does not. But present it to them in a way that's obvious, and then the customer can make a decision to go further to find out people who maybe didn't quite meet it, but they still want to look at. So sure. we're working on different methods that way.
Great. And you know what? We're up on the next break. My guest today is Joanne Wojtek. She is program manager for NASA SOUP. And when we come back, we'll turn from ERP a little bit and talk about some other features that have been incorporated into the NASA SOUP program. And of course, you know, we're in the September buying season, and touch a little bit about what you guys have done and what you've done to get ready and now into the September end of fiscal year buying. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Fed News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Fed News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Joanne Wojtek. She is the program manager for NASA SOUP, and we've been talking about the Established Authorized Reseller Program, otherwise known as ERP. And I have to confess, I always think when I say ERP, I think of Wyatt Earp, right? And they shoot out at, is it the OK Corral?
Yes.
I can't remember. Yes. Not that, yeah. Well, anyway, so many different movies about that have been made, as you can't even count them. All of them were authorized, though.
Right? That's correct.
But back on ERP a little bit, and also I think there's a nexus between that and some of the new things, new methods of education that you're trying, or outreach and information for customer agencies. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So earlier this year, we started a new team called the Content Management Team that initially just started just trying to put all content together. But one of my hopes was to find new ways to educate our customers as we come out with new tools, because we're always evolving and always adding new information. And there's a lot of information on our website, sometimes perhaps too much, and people don't know where to turn. So thinking about YouTube videos and, you know, kind of quickie videos that millennials are used to, maybe we can have little minute videos pop up for our customers to tell them. So with ERP, with that launching, we did our first video. We had hired a new staff member who's familiar with that sort of tool sets, and she did a nice little video that's out there. Got some good feedback from our customers and our industry on the video itself. It's a little not full of super content, but get the main ideas out in a peppy sort of way that in 2 minutes gets the ideas across. And then more can be read about in the graded documentation. So we're hoping to pepper our website with these videos throughout, so that as instead of just having a line saying this means that, have a little video pop up and explain it in a quick but fancy new way.
So are you going to be in some of these videos, so describing things?
I've been told that you hire a new person who's into all this stuff. She has all sorts of great ideas for using me and other people on staff. So we actually used our contracting officer as the voice behind the current videos. So
sure.
So we kind of just find who fits in. I suspect there'll be a lot of different ways, which is what I want. I want to see and then see what has its best impact in getting people to understand things, again, without making them watch a 20-minute video, sit through a webinar. But if this is all they want to know right now, just click a button, get a quick understanding, and then move on.
Right, and then they can always follow up for the more detailed information.
Yeah, and we're working on that too. We just added an updated video after 2 years. We you know, things change, so that was just updated. And again, we're doing more webinars now and more other outreach that is helping to educate.
Sure. So let's talk about some other enhancements to the program that you guys have made or plan on making. And can you talk a little bit about the order status tool? What is that?
So back in Soup 4, we had an order status tool that if you happen to know exactly the right sort of information, and it was your order, and you could kind of dig into it and maybe see that there was a status. But so I was very happy when, because I'm kind of leaving a little bit to my staff now to write things. And we have a really cool tool now that we just added in the past month. So a customer can come on, they can see all the orders that they've placed or that they are associated with. So and they can bring up the order. They can click on a button and see the RFQ that created the order, open up the RFQ, see what the status is, query the contract holder for a new status, let us know there's an issue. All this within a self-contained tool. So we haven't got a video out for it yet, but they're working on that.
And a 2 minute.
We'll have a 2 minute video. hopefully in the next few weeks, or that will be on the website to help describe that. But the tool itself is available now, and I do know a few customers have found it already. So and have already come back and said, "Gee, but what if we could do this?" So right. It's always fun when you have a new tool. The new idea is already popping up for how to improve it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's an iterative process. Is that the right word?
Yes.
It's like it evolves over time as people identify other functions or features that a customer may want, right?
Yes.
And is this sort of when you described it, I couldn't help but going back and talking about when you talked about the customized sort of catalog feature to support customers. Just this little step, additional value added that helps agencies better manage their acquisitions. I mean, that's what people are looking for now. Is that what you're finding?
Yes, that's where a lot of our tool sets are aimed to. Is how can we get that that collaboration? As I mentioned, it's not just a case of one person can have it, but multiple people. We have agencies now doing orders for other agencies and cross pollination there. So we allow that to happen and make sure that there is an ability for people to not have to go do their email stuff and fax, if there's still faxing going on, but actually go on our website and just manage it all off of our website.
And so you said GSA uses your program a fair amount?
They're number 10 on our agency
list.
Wow,
that's pretty good. Yes. All right. Is that FedSim or who is that?
It's both FedSim doing acquisition for other contracts and for other agencies, and GSA doing orders for themselves.
So okay.
A combination of the two.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And other features, I understand you're working on a question and answer functionality for those RFQ kind of communications.
Yeah, that's. I would say the one piece that most bothers me is being missing right now is that feature. We get a lot of questions from customers because they'll get asked a question by industry. It's like, how do I answer it? It's like, well, and there's a way to do it, but not very smooth. So I've had our staff working on that for the past year, and we plan on. I'll know for sure in a day or two. I believe early next week I'll have a meeting to get me the latest status update. But our goal was this end of this calendar year, to have a fully robust Q&A feature that would make it really easy for industry to ask a question. It will be maintained by our database. The agency can then redact what needs to be redacted, repost it, track it, get printouts of what's been asked so they can document the questions and answers. And they don't have to do it themselves. It will all be within our own system so that we can then manage the administrative piece of acquisition and let them do the real work that they need to do, which is make decisions about what they need.
Great. So, and that's going to be coming in the next, before the end of the year, or when do you think?
My goal is by the end of December, yes.
Okay, great. Yeah. Great, before the 25th anniversary celebration, right?
Yes, it would be a nice Christmas present for us to have that in place. It might be sooner. I haven't had the latest update. At last I heard we were on target, certainly for December.
Great. So, and then obviously we're in September. It's the it's the buying season for a lot of folks in government. Yes. You did mention earlier in the program that you've seen a lot of spend earlier in the year, which is perhaps people. The pent-up demand,
yes.
With a bit more fiscal certainty, I guess, during this transition. But now we're getting into, how long is the government going to be open or not. But we're probably, I guess, going to be through the end of fiscal year for sure. So what do you guys have done to get ready for that? Or we're in the midst of it. What are you saying?
We, in terms of getting ready for it, we've already increased our hours. We'll be open certainly the last Saturday. We'll obviously be open on the very last Saturday, the 30th, for getting orders. But our hours themselves have increased. Staff, people ask, well, how do you do the staffing? Well, what's nice about having a staff that grows within itself is people go back and become customer service reps again that you were before, or help do order processing. So we don't have to, you know, hire new folks. We could just use our current staff to manage
the... Redeploy them.
Redeploy, like, yes. Yeah. And, you know, 40% of our business comes in September, and 53% comes in August and September. So we have to, we have a pretty well-oiled system for handling that. And in fact, last year, I would usually say, well, it takes an hour to get an order processed. And in September, it might be, you know, a few hours. Last year, our team was getting down to, you know, 20 minutes to do an order. And in September, it might be 25 minutes. They were not at all. They were able to really build themselves up to keep the orders flowing. And that includes if the verification process is already set up well with our contractors, we can get that through with little delay. So I don't anticipate a lot, although you never know what happens in September,
right.
How much pent up there is. I still, I have both anxiety that everybody has spent their money and anxiety that nobody has spent all their money. We could have a really chaotic last week, but it's really hard to tell until you actually get there as to where agencies are looking to spend that last bit.
Right. Well, on that note, Joanne, we got to end the show.
Thank you
so much for being on. My guest today has been Joanne Wojtek. She's the program manager for NASA SOUP. And Joanne, I look forward to coming to the 25th anniversary celebration.
I'll be showing it right.
Absolutely. You have been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.